Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Certainly, it's always great to have you here at The Advertising Show. It's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We are never short of incredible topics and great guests, and today is certainly no exception. We've got Brian Halligan with us. Brian is the author of a brand new book. It's called Inbound Marketing. It says, get found using Google, social media, and blogs. And I'll tell you, if you haven't caught on to that concept yet, you need to do so. We'll be talking with Brian here in just a few minutes for a few segments on the show today. Jeffrey Gettimer with us here a little bit later on in the hour. And leaving a tip. I don't know how you are at tipping folks out there. I'm not talking about you, Brad, because I know you are very good at that, but leaving a tip. What do you do in the real world of business as far as that goes? Jeffrey's going to talk about that. Gene Bliss is with us too, and today it's all about Harley Davidson and how they basically took the union side and the management side, and they have them working together as one. So this is all about working together here. That is from her brand new book, I Love You More Than My Dog. So that's Jean's a part here as well. Also want to say just a few moments, take a few moments to welcome a brand new sponsor here to The Advertising Show. It's Rebus Software. That's R-E-B-U-S. Rebus Software. Basically, this is a software application for advertising agencies. It's got just an incredible CRM program, estimating, timesheet entry, a full accounting package, and so on and so forth. Basically, what it's kind of like WD-40 for your workspace. You know, in other words, it just makes it a lot more efficient. So it's Rebus, and we are certainly glad to have them a part here of the Advertising Show as we get kicked into 2010. By the way, it's Rebus Dash Software.com. They've got an online demo and it's free, so check it out at Rebus-Software.com. And, you know, it'd probably be a good idea to let you say something, Brad, don't you think?
Well, you know, I want to alert all of our regular listeners, if Ray and I sound a little, shall we say, different than normal. We've got some technical issues we're working through, and we'll be back to our regular high-quality sound fidelity, as we say, next week. But until then, we're pulling a couple of strings together with some pork and bean cans and making this happen with today's guest. So,
well, actually, I've got a Campbell's soup can, but that's okay. And some dental floss.
Well, from here, I couldn't see that. I'm more with the Van Camp's version.
Well, the reason, Brad, I went with the dental floss as opposed to the string is it goes underwater, and you start that shrinking thing, and it screws everything up, you know?
I wanted to make sure others out there listening through iTunes or wherever you may find us on your iPod or various other device that if we sound different, it's not you, it's us. By the way, Ray, I was going to mention that the Wall Street Journal is continuing to staff up its New York edition, and the project apparently is looking more and more like a direct assault on the New York Times. The Journal's New York Bureau, which is expected to launch this April, will have a workforce, roughly of 36. So Murdoch is targeting the New York Times, and we'll see if they're able to pull it off with their new Wall Street Journal edition.
With the charging part of it or something like that, right? Exactly.
Well, you know, I've always said, and you and I both have always said, you know, if you've charged all along, that's one thing, and the Wall Street Journal is one of a few that has successfully pulled off the pay for content business model. And there's a lot of talk about charging, subscription, you know, pay per content type thing today, and all in all, people are clamoring in that business saying we're going to start charging. But I don't know about you, Ray, but you know, it's been free. Once it's free and you start charging, that's the drug dealer's business model. You can't do that online. There's too many sources out there to get your content. So, you know, all of this, I understand the desire and the want, to find revenue in a non-traditional way for the traditional media. I just don't see how they're going to pull it off.
I totally agree. We've got Gene Bliss here with us here on the Advertising Show, the customer experiencing. Working together is the topic for today. How did they do it? How did they do it at Harley-Davidson? Let's find out.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
In the mid-1990s, the senior management of Harley-Davidson and the presidents of two international unions, the International Association of Machinists and the Paper Allied Industrial, Chemical, and Energy Workers, decided to work together to establish a mutually beneficial partnership. They wanted to fundamentally change how they did business to increase product quality through partnership. And they wanted to make Harley-Davidson a better place to work. This landmark decision to create union and employer partnerships created a new shared leadership between the business and union leaders. Traditionally, union and non-union workers did not mix, but Harley-Davidson decided to demolish that barrier in order to achieve better product quality and to invigorate the workforce. Teams of never-before-paired union and non-union members, many of whom were line workers, came together for the building of a plant in Texas. These teams chose the plant location and were involved for the first time in the hiring process. As a result of partnership actions, efficiency increased and the need for management oversight decreased. Who has a seat at your table? Are you nurturing a company of contributors?
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Hey, thanks, Gene Bliss on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Brian Halligan's going to join us here in a few moments with a few segments and an opportunity to talk about his brand new book called Inbound Marketing. We've got the Super Bowl coming up here very shortly. Obviously, we pre-record this show. That's for quality control and also security reasons. That's it. Now, we had earlier this week Apple's tablet being exposed, a big opportunity for advertisers, and it was unveiled Wednesday. I don't have much information on it at this particular point in time, but it does say, according to Forbes.com, that to look for some new opportunities to not only get creative, but to do a lot of other stuff that you couldn't do before. So when we meet again, I will have commentary on Apple's new tablet. Who knows? You may even have one of those already, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, Brian Halligan with us here, author of Inbound Marketing. Get found using Google, social media, and blogs. He is also co-founder of and CEO of HubSpot, Inc. It's an internet marketing company dedicated to helping small businesses leverage the internet to get found by qualified prospects and convert more of them into leads and customers. He's got HubSpot.com as well. But we'll talk about the book, and we'll talk more about his capabilities there as well here at the Advertising Show. It's being powered by Shipple.com, and that is S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. Ed and his crew do a great job for us with a program called Tendency. Back in just a minute with more at the Advertising Show.
We didn't create Rebus, the best advertising agency software application, overnight. It took us about 20 years of refinement, with the help of over 400 of our customers worldwide. From CRM estimating and timesheet entry to a full accounting package, Rebus Software is a fully integrated and user-friendly platform that will make your staff more efficient and your agency more profitable. And because Rebus is an energetic, multilingual, and multicultural company, we can respond quickly to your specific needs from the U.S. to the U.K., Spain, Italy, and Australia. Rebus, refined and proven effective by advertising agencies around the world. Want to find out how Rebus can work for your agency? Schedule a live online demo right now. Go to rebus-software.com. rebus-software.com. The live online demo is free. The results go directly to your agency's bottom line. rebus-software.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt. Stronger than dirt.
On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe, and a very special guest is Brian Halligan out of Cambridge, Mass. This weekend. It's a brand new book, and it's worthwhile. And bless your heart if you don't know a lot of this stuff already, but you should. Inbound marketing, get focused and found using Google, social media, and blogs. And I love this part of the descriptive, Brian. It says, all it takes is reversing everything you knew about marketing. Yesterday's techniques were outbound. Television commercials, magazine ads, direct mail, telemarketing, email blast. Today, customers only respond to a new set of marketing tools which aim in the opposite direction, which is called inbound. And I'm so glad you've written a book about this. I truly believe this is a very important part of our marketing effort here, and as well as many others. So welcome to the show. It's good to have you here, Brian.
Thanks a lot, Ray and Brad. Thanks for inviting me. I'm just going to take umbrage at one remark. It's a very worthwhile book. I think you meant to say it's a fantastic book.
Well, we leave the shameless plugs to our guests.
We're waiting for you to say that, but that's fine. That's not a problem. It is fantastic, and it also is it's a pretty book, too. We'll put it that way. How's that, Nate?
And Brian doesn't know this, but we are inundated with books from publishers here in the U.S. as well as around the world, and we don't just have authors on just because we get a free book. We review all books, and producers review them as well, and if it's good enough for us, then we share it with our listeners, and it is good enough, and that's why we've had you on, or having you on today, Brian. First off, going back to the shameless plug idea for a moment, tell us a little bit about HubSpot.
Sure. HubSpot's a software company I started 3 years ago with a classmate of mine from MIT, and it's basically we help companies take advantage of Google and blogs and Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, to pull people into their website, to really transform the way they market from doing things like advertising and cold calls and email blasts to more how do you pull people in the natural course of the way they shop and learn in Google, blogs, social media sites. So it's kind of a modern marketing platform to help people match the way they market with the way people buy and shop today.
Well, you know, there are many, many books out there that help marketers navigate social media space these days. How's your book different, Brian?
It's different in a couple of ways. It's not just about social media marketing. It's more about really transforming the way you market from scratch. For a long, long time, the way people marketed hasn't really changed a whole lot. They do, radio ads and television ads, a lot of email. They do a lot of cold calling, things like that. And a couple of things have changed. People like us here on the radio today, we're kind of sick and tired of being interrupted with cold calls and emails and advertisements, and we're getting better and better at blocking it out, whether that's with using Pandora on your iPhone or it's using TiVo on your television or spam protection. And people more and more are turning to blogs and social media and Google. That's kind of where they live and where they learn and shop. And so HubSpot talks about that real transformation that's happening and gets into a little bit of the theory, but then gets into very tactically the step-by-step process you need to go through as a business owner, as a marketer, to take advantage of these changes to really grow your business. So it's a combination of some of the theory, and then it gets very, very tactical. And the book has done remarkably well. We published it, I think, 6-7 weeks ago, and it's already sold 20,000 copies. It's on its third printing. So a lot of these social media books don't do that well, but this one's really picked up quite a bit of steam.
Well, hopefully we'll sell a copy or two for you. Wanted to get your definition of inbound marketing. I can tell our listeners are all out there saying, okay, we get the outbound idea here. What's inbound?
Inbound, the way inbound works is most websites today are, I call them brochureware. A website typically is developed. You had an old brochure. You gave it to your cousin who's a web designer or your PR company. They turned it into this gorgeous, beautiful website. But 99% of websites are like billboards in the desert. No one's driving by it. No one's ever seeing your darn website. So the idea behind inbound marketing is how do you turn that website into like a magnet on the internet for visitors, where you're pulling them in from Google, you're pulling them in from Twitter, you're pulling them in from Facebook, you're pulling them in from blogs, and you're turning your website into this hub. And the way I like to kind of think about it is I'm in Cambridge, Massachusetts today, and there's one highway that goes through Cambridge. There's no airports. There's no real bus stations. And I compare Cambridge with, let's say, New York City, three big airports, a big bus station, two huge train stations, hundreds of highways running in and out. You want your website to be like New York City, and you want to transform the way you think about your website and the way you think about marketing to move your website from Cambridge, Mass. Into something more like New York City that's a real hub.
Well, it's a great setup for, as you just described, the hub site. You say most mindset online, the old way is the megaphone site.
Right. Most people have this one-way megaphone type of site. That's exactly right in the book. And you want your site to be and not just pushing out, but you really want it pulling in, and you want it to be having more of a conversation. When the web was first invented back in the back in 20 years ago, a guy named Tim Berners-Lee did most of the seminal work around it. It was really designed to be a collaboration platform where people communicate with each other and share files. But what the first generation of the web ended up being was really one-to-many, where you've got a brochureware type of website, and you visit it, but you're not interacting with other people. You're really interacting in their website. More recently, the web has really lived up to its original vision, and it's a much more collaborative, interactive platform now. And so you really want to take advantage of that. You want your website to be more like Facebook, more like a blog than one of these pieces of brochure. So you don't want to be like a megaphone. You want it to be this collaborative, interactive hub on the Internet.
You know, as we wrap up this segment, in your book, you say when it comes to your brand, 75% of your focus should be on what is happening off your website. And I think for most, that sounds counterintuitive. Talk a little bit about that, Brian.
It is. I see a lot of companies, they spend a lot of time and a lot of money designing a beautiful website, and they worry about all the stuff that's on their website. And at the end of the day, your website is one small piece of the puzzle. It's really like a landing page. Where the action is what's happening in your industry on Twitter, what's happening in your industry and for your brand on Facebook, inside of LinkedIn, when you do searches on Google, with all the other websites that are linking back to you. What you want are all these other, you want to rethink your website and think very, very broadly about it and include all those other things as part of what your website's about. So you want to be pulling people in and just have them landing on a very good site. So it's less about the look and feel, and it's more about get your head off your website, create some good content there, but get involved in all these other places. And the little bit of analogy I like to use where the links that you get from Twitter and Facebook and other sites that come back to your site, those links are sending you traffic. And links are to the Internet sort of as the U.S. dollar is to the U.S. economy. So it's less about how beautiful and expensive and delightful your site looks and more about all those links coming into your site from the rest of the Internet.
And a lot of people don't really understand that. Brian, we're going to take a break here for just a moment and talk more about that. Brian is the author of Inbound Marketing, Getting Found Using Google, Social Media, and Blogs. We're going to talk more about the book in just a minute here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schoellings and Brad Forsyth.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Welcome back on The Advertising Show. Ray Schoellings, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest out of Cambridge, Mass. It's Brian Halligan, author of Inbound Marketing, Get Found Using Google, Social Media, and Blogs. And as I like to say, this is not do-it-yourself stuff. Do not let your uncle or your cousin or the guy down the street design the website and make it all pretty. Make it work. And I like the fact that you talked a little bit last segment about the importance of generating content and generating activity as it relates to Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and such. That's a rather important part of the whole process too, Brian. What are you looking for though? Are you looking for functionality on the website? You're looking for ease of finding things when you do get this inbound pull?
Yep. I think of it in a kind of a step-by-step process. Great question, sort of. Step one on your website is you want to have remarkable content on there. And I love that word remarkable because the content needs to be so interesting that other websites are remarking about it and linking back to your website, clicking on another website and linking back to you. And a guy named Seth Godin, whom I'm a big fan of, uses that word, and I think it's the perfect word. So step one, start a blog, create some content that's just remarkable. You want other folks to remark about it. Step two is once you've got that content, you're cranking the content out, is you want to optimize that content for Google and for social media sites. You want to include some words that describe your business that people might search on in Google that you want to get found by. You want to include those in the content of your article and the title. You want very pithy titles that might spread virally inside of Twitter or Facebook, these social media sites. Once you've got your content optimized, then you want to really promote it inside the social media sphere. So you want to get good at promoting inside of Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, in promoting within the blogosphere and the comments of the popular blogs on the Internet. Because your content, unlike an advertisement where you place, you know, you put a billboard up or you put a television ad, there's a very fixed number of impressions you get. If you write a really clever, remarkable article on your blog, you can get unlimited impressions. If people like it, they will help you spread it. So it's sort of this three-step process that you want to go through to really crank your inbound marketing.
Well, you know, let's take advantage of you being here today, because you sound like a highly opinionated guy. NatBe, an event that happens every year. A lot of people that are listening know all about that. Eisner, Michael Eisner, told NatBe delegates recently that the old media is on a death march and that the made-for-web content is an explosion ready to happen. I'm curious, Brian, as our listeners around the world and certainly on Madison Avenue are all listening today and curious about your take on traditional advertising, traditional media. Where is it going for the short term?
Yeah, I don't think your listeners are going to be thrilled with my opinion on it, but I agree with Eisner, sort of. I think about marketing over the last 60, 70 years. And if I was a marketer 70 years ago, I would take every dollar I could find and pour it into television advertising. You think about mom and dad sitting on the couch watching Leave It to Beaver, and 5 minutes into the show, a Palmolive ad comes on, and you don't have a clicker, you've only got three stations, not a whole hell of a lot on the TV, you end up watching the damn ad. That Palmolive ad comes on today on a television show, there's no way you're watching it. You're going to fast-forward it through it on TiVo, or you're going to flip the channel, you've got a clicker, it's very, very different today. And I just think Madison Avenue's been built on this great economic engine. If you're a marketer, you're just funneling money into that and efficiently turning advertising dollars into customers. And I think it's the outbound marketing era, and it's coming to an end. It's not over, but it's coming to an end. Same goes for other industries. And I think there's a whole new industry that's going to get formed, and Madison Avenue will either transform or die, and it's around content creation. How do you create really interesting viral content? How do you get great writers, editors, folks like that who can create really good content for people that will spread on its own on the Internet? Not interrupting people, but it's so good on its own, you're getting the community to spread it. So I think we're at the beginning of sort of the next 50-year revolution. And the next 50-year revolution is advertisers, marketers need to match kind of the way they market with the way people today are kind of shopping and learning. And it's really changed quite a bit.
So you can send those emails to Brian here at the Advertising Show if you want to do that. It's Ray and Brad with a special guest out of Cambridge, Mass. Brian Halligan, author of Inbound Marketing, Get Found Using Google, Social Media, and Blogs. And if you're hearing this for the first time, please listen closer and then go back and re-listen and then go get the book. We'll be back in just a minute with more.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. Sure, happy that you're along for the ride today because we've got Brian Halligan out of Cambridge, Mass, with a brand new book. I noticed they sent us the paperback version. It says not for sale. It's up for bid, though, here at the Advertising Show this week. I'm joking, Brian. It's called Inbound Marketing, Get Found Using Google, Social Media, and Blogs. What a great idea, and a lot of good information. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and it's an advance uncorrected proof, so we'll send you the corrections, Brian, and you can send
those on to the publisher.
Let's turn our attention to Google for a moment. You say in your book, getting web pages indexed by Google is not the problem. Getting them to rank well is the bigger challenge. So why don't you start, Brian, by demystifying Google rankings for us and then follow that up with a bit of advice for our listeners as to how to better advance their Google rankings.
Sure. The two founders of Google, very interesting guys. They were students at Stanford together, and they were trying to figure out a way, when they were working on their PhD, to figure out a new way to rank, you know, which articles more important than other articles. And the way they came up with the model to do it is they said, well, how do we decide if our PhD thesis is worth it? How do we know whose is great? And the way that sort of works is Albert Einstein's PhD thesis. Every other physicist who's ever come after Albert Einstein referenced back to Albert's, good old Albert's, thesis. If your thesis isn't very good, no one else references yours. So it's about building on other people's work. And that's how they kind of decided to do, index the web. So they index every page on the web. They have them all on their servers. And they decide to serve it up primarily based on how many other websites link back to your website. And a link is one of those little blue lines. You click on it, comes back to your site. So if you're saying something remarkable and interesting, lots of other website owners will link back to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so the way you do better in Google and the way you rank well is primarily 75 to 80% about nothing that's really, a lot that's out of your control. It's about all the other people on the internet and what they're saying about your brand, about your products, and about the links that are coming into your site. So if your blog is really good, or your website is really good, and it's really interesting, or your product's super differentiated and unique in the marketplace. Like, for example, Steve Jobs just announced the iPad, really unique and really remarkable product. Millions of people will link to him today. So all of a sudden, Apple will rank in Google for all kinds of terms associated with tablet, with iPad, with wireless computers, everything, because Google really looks at that link. So the best thing you can do is write content that is very interesting and post it on your blog or post it on your site. And if you sort of want to know if you're good at this stuff or not, take your website and run it through websitegrader.com, G-R-A-D-E-R, and that'll give you a score of 1 to 100 on how much mojo you basically have inside of Google, essentially.
You know, we do a monitoring of theadvertisingshow.com through Google Alerts, and the number of links to our site from bloggers out there have grown dramatically. We do not share links with anyone that sets out to want to link to our site. It's just something we've chosen not to do, yet we have some 1,100 out there that are linking back to our site. And we've seen, Brian, these Google rankings when they solicit a share link situation with us, and they tout a link, a Google rank of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. What do those numbers mean, and how high does it go? Could you help us with that?
Something called Google PageRank, and it's actually named after Larry Page, one of the founders, and it's essentially that model of counting how many websites are linking back to your site, and then looking at the power of those websites linking to you. So if you get a link from the New York Times, it's worth a lot more than if you get a link from your cousin's gardening blog. And then combine that into an algorithm that goes 1 to 10, and 10 is the best, and there's a handful of sites in the world with a 10, and 1 is the worst. It's an old way they used to do it, and they're sort of phasing that PageRank thing out. But it's a rough approximation. I actually think you're better off if you want to know what your page rank is, go to Website Grader and get a sense for how much mojo you have. It's a better, it's kind of a better way to do it. In terms of exchanging links, I'd be very careful about that. What Google's figured out is if, let's say you've got 10,000 links into your site, and then you're linking out to 10,000 people, and if there's a heavy overlap in that link structure, Google would say they're up to something sneaky. They're not earning those links, they're trading them. And they can blacklist you from Google, so you have to be a little bit careful.
Do not want to be blacklisted by Google. No, that wouldn't be a good thing. Hey, Brian, we are out of time here, unfortunately. To find out more about what's what you guys put together as far as the book goes, you got to go get the book, okay? It's called Inbound Marketing, Get Found Using Google, Social Media, and Blogs. Blog at HubSpot.com is one place you want to check out, and I also have a web address here for inboundmarketing.com/book. Just go buy the book, do a lot better job at what you should be doing, and that is pulling folks into your site and then making the connection. Brian, it's been a pleasure having you here at the Advertising Show today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
On the Advertising Show is Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. We'll be back with more in just a minute. Stay right here.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man.
Our thanks for a great interview, Brian Halligan, and go get that book, Inbound Marketing, Get Found Using Google, Social Media, and Blogs. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here at the Advertising Show. Of course, we've got Super Bowl coming up, and, everybody says, oh, we watch it for the spots and the commercials and such. I guess that's true. Why is it that the rest of the year everybody tries to avoid commercials? I don't get that, but who knows? You know, think about that for a minute.
Well, you would think that if they did a better job maybe at, you know, putting yourself out there and wanting to be creative 365 days a year instead of just during the Super Bowl, maybe more people would watch TV spots, huh?
Well, I like that. That's a good concept. Listen, there's one spot here that I find this interesting, very interesting. CBS, who's running the Super Bowl, by the way, at the stadium that is now called something else, it used to be called Dolphin Stadium, used to be down the street from my house in Florida, willing to run advocacy ads. In this particular case, Tim Tebow is a Super Bowl ad. He's a football star, Heisman Trophy winner and such. He's talking about not having abortions, pro-life. It's being sponsored by James Dobson. And they're running this spot. They're getting some flack about that, both critically and from a supportive standpoint. And I think it will be very interesting as we get closer to Super Bowl to see exactly who might, take an opposing stand and say, turn this thing into more of an unfortunately political foray than it should be. But they are running the Tim Tebow ad And they're saying that, I'm sorry, it's Focus on the Family that's running the 30-second ad. Basically, I don't know, what do you think about that, Brad?
You know, I saw that piece myself, and, you know, I don't know. Why can't we just leave the Super Bowl alone and don't make it some kind of political, social statement, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's just, you know, let's just have women with, you know, large breasts for, you know, GoDaddy spots and, you know, monkeys throwing various, you know, body fluids and solids at, you know, people in the other side of the cage, these kind of things.
Well, wait, you're talking about the spots that we usually see on the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah.
I got you.
Wouldn't you prefer to just kind of stay out of the politics and social commentary? I mean, really.
I think it adds an interesting twist, and it's just, it's odd. It's different. And you know, I applaud the fact that Focus took the opportunity to try something like that, but I agree, maybe not necessarily the right place. I don't know, but you know, I think it's cool.
From the category of welcome to the 21st century, Ray, Procter & Gamble, the world's biggest marketer, is opening an office in Silicon Valley to help develop digital marketing capabilities with Facebook. P&G says that its explicit goal for 2010 is to assure that each of its brands has a meaningful presence on the social network. Now, you would think a forward company like P&G would be already there, but apparently they're now committed to social media and having a presence. So.
Oh, by golly, let's go ahead and toast that with champagne. It's 2001, something like that. Maybe we got Jeffrey Gittimer here at the Advertising Show. Leaving a tip. How do you tip? Are you a good tipper? Let's listen to this one.
Quick Takes on Sales and Customer Relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
You ever leave a tip? Sure you did. And most of the time you leave a tip, it's based on the service or the quality of the service that you perceive. Sometimes it's a combination of qualities. Food plus server. Skycaps at airports work for tips. I know this, and so I tip liberally as a result of it. They don't have a jar outside. They do the same excellent job whether they're tipped or not. They're working for the tip to try to earn it. The point here is that service has nothing to do with your company. Service has everything to do with the people who work for the company. You, people like you. So here's the 4.5 tips on how to earn a tip. First thing you do is start with a smile. Smiles are contagious. The second thing you do is engage the other person in a friendly manner. Start with your name and stop when it comes to your canned pitch. The third thing to do is help others sincerely and without expectation. Your job is to serve. Do that with excellence and all will be well. The fourth thing to do is tell them how nice it was to serve them. Be sincere. That's no problem if you've been sincere all along. And 4.5, thank them, like your mother taught you to do. Sometimes the best tip you can give others isn't money. A small gift is sometimes better than a monetary gift because it comes from your heart. The best tip of all that you can give to others is a kind word of thanks or a compliment. They love hearing it from customers because they probably never hear it from their boss.
Quick Takes on Sales and Customer Relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, Gittomer.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
"This is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks."
And who else but Jeffrey Gittimer could say it so perfectly, right? On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Our thanks again to our guest today, Brian Halligan, and hope you get a chance to join us next week. Matt Pike's going to be with us, and we'll talk more about what Matt is doing, and what is he doing here on the show? Well, he's the founder of Universal Everything. That alone just kind of elicits a sincere sense of curiosity. He He's based in a log cabin studio in Sheffield. I would assume Sheffield, England, right, Brad?
Correct.
Okay. So I would assume that being a log cabin in Sheffield, it's probably very damp.
this guy is a creative genius, I would say. I mean, the guy's really got a lot going, and I'm looking forward to visiting with him. I know you are as well, Ray, talking before the show. He was originally supposed to be on this week, but had an emergency, frankly, that he had to reschedule for next week. So looking forward to visiting with Matt.
Well, good. And in the meantime, we thank Brian again for making the switch here and joining us as well here at the Advertising Show. As we launch into 2010, we do that with a bunch of energy and a new opportunity to maybe touch a whole bunch of other people that we haven't had the pleasure of meeting here at theadvertisingshow.com. And it's very easy to do. All you got to do is log on. You sign up for the, with the podcast and such, and you can go ahead and grab, my goodness, just a whole bunch of interviews with people that you would not believe, luminaries of this industry, advertising and marketing. And mostly we just have a good time here at theadvertisingshow.com. So looking forward to Super Bowl as far as the commercials go. I will definitely look forward to that, and I hope you'll look forward to joining us next week here at the Advertising Show. Thanks again to our brand new sponsor, Rebus. It's rebus-software.com. If you're an agency, you need to check out what they do. It's some pretty cool stuff as well. So thanks to those guys. The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.